section. It had split open like an overcooked sausage, ripped right down the middle. I saw plenty of charring from the aerobacteria on the outer surface of the hull. The insides looked strangely bare and empty. With a sudden gasp of hope, I saw that the compartment where the escape pod had been housed was empty. Had Alex gotten away? Had he used the pod to ride up into orbit? Then I realized that it made no difference if he had. It was more than 3 years since Phosphorus went down. He couldn't be alive even if his pod had made it to orbit. Besides, there had been absolutely no radio messages from the escape pod, not even an automated beacon. Then, to seal the question, I saw the pod. It had rolled a few dozen meters from the rest of the wreckage, coming to rest against a hot, glowing rock the size of a suburban house. And several of those strange dark lines went across the bare rock to the escape pod. They were too straight to be cracks in the surface, and they came from too many different angles to be the track of the pods rolling across the rocky surface. "What are those lines?" Fuchs asked. "That's what I'd like to know," I said. "They seem to radiate outward from the escape pod." "Or to come together at the spot where the pod came to rest," I corrected. "Impact cracks?" he mused. "There's more of them crisscrossed over the gas envelope," I said.
"Can't be cracks, then."
"Right," I answered. "But what are they?"
"Go find out."
"Right."
"We're using up a lot of fuel, keeping station above you," he said.
That was Fuchs's way of telling me to hurry up. "I'll be on the surface in a few minutes," I said. Inwardly, I was trying to decide if I should put Hecate down alongside the pod or next to the wreckage of the ship's main body.
"Check out the pod first," Fuchs said as if he could read my mind. "Then you can lift and shift over to the gondola."
"Right," I said again. I realized it had been some time since he'd insisted on my addressing him as sir or captain. Did he respect me now as an equal, or was it the father-son relationship? That was tricky. It was just as wrenching for him to find out I was his son as it was for me to learn he was my father. Neither one of us was prepared to handle that load of emotional freight. Something flickered in the corner of my eye.
"What was that?" Fuchs snapped.
"What?"
"That light."
I scanned the control panel, looked through the observation port in the deck. Everything seemed to be functioning properly.
"What light?" "On the horizon,"
he said, his voice hesitant, uncertain.
"In the east."
Trying to remember which way was east, I looked through the forward port. Far off on the horizon, there was a glow lighting the grayish-yellow clouds. It pulsed, brightened.
"Sunrise?" I guessed.
"Too soon," said Fuchs.
"Besides, the sun rises in the west."
"That's right," I said to myself. "Then what was the light in the east?"
"Wait," Fuchs said. "We're getting a message from Truax."
What would Truax be sending, I wondered. "A warning," the other side of my mind answered. Yes, but a warning about what? It only took a few moments to get the answer. Fuchs's voice came back into my earphones.
"It's another volcanic eruption."
"Another eruption?"
"Nothing to worry about. It's 400 kilometers away."
I swallowed hard and tried not to think about Greenbaum, but in my imagination I could see the glee on his face. This might well be only the second Venusian volcano blast in 500 million years, and he'd be getting data from us on it, unless we got killed first. Eruption. I stared too long at that sullen, pinkish glow, thinking about volcanoes and Greenbaum and the whole surface of the planet below me opening up and frying me with the stored heat of 500 million years suddenly released into my face. Two volcanoes within days of each other meant either that Greenbaum was wrong or that Venus was beginning to boil over.
"You're spraying the wreckage," Fuchs shouted in my earphones.
"What?"
"The exhaust," he yelled, exasperated. "You're letting it spray over the wreckage."
The molten metal from Hecate's heat sink, I realized. The ship was spitting the melted alloy out from its rear, carrying the built-up heat away from me. Venusian guano, I thought wryly. It was settling over the wreckage.
"Point her nose properly," Fuchs demanded. "You're covering up the whole blasted wreck."
He was excited up there. Hovering high above me and Lucifer, Fuchs must have felt completely frustrated at having to sit on his bridge and watch my clumsy efforts to do what he thought he could perform flawlessly. I wondered what that was going to do to his blood pressure as I fought to orient Hecate, so that I spiraled ever closer to the wreckage without burying it under the ship's excretion of molten alloy. Could that be causing the strange lines on the wreckage, I wondered. But a quick look at the scene below me showed it was not. Those lines were thin and mostly quite straight, although some curved here and there. Rather gracefully, actually. Hecate's hot droppings clearly splashed when they hit the ground, forming bright new puddles of liquefied metal. Some of the droppings had spattered one end of the crushed gas envelope. Nothing important had been covered by the alloy I saw. It seemed to me that Fuchs was getting worked up over very little. I blinked sweat from my eyes as I worked Hecate lower and lower. And then I saw something that made my eyes pop wide. One of those lines had moved. No, more than one. Several of them whipped across the oven-hot rocks to converge on the splashes of alloy that had dropped from Hecate. "You only have 55 minutes left on the heat sink," Fuchs's voice warned, more calmly now. "Did you see that?" I yelled, excited, more puzzled than afraid. "Those lines moved." "Moved?" "Yes. Didn't you see them?" "No." "They went to the alloy puddles," I said, almost shouting, trying to convince him. Fuchs was silent for a few moments. Then he replied, "I don't see any movement. But I saw them move, and fast, too, like lightning." "You can attend to that later," he said, his voice betraying his doubts about my powers of observation. "Get to the escape pod. The clock keeps ticking." The plan was to use the manipulator arms to open up the escape pod and see if Alex had made it inside successfully. But if he had retreated into it as his ship went down, wouldn't it be better to leave it sealed and bring it up in its entirety? That way, if he was really inside, his body would remain protected from the Venusian atmosphere, at least with as much protection as the pod could give. "Can Hecate lift the whole pod intact?" I asked into my helmet mic. No response for a few moments. Then Fuchs asked, "How much does it weigh?" "I have no idea," I admitted. "A ton or so, I guess." "Very precise," he said acidly. "How much can Hecate carry?" Another pause. I imagined him hurriedly scanning the computer files. It was getting hot in the cockpit despite the heat sink and the ship's cooling system. Really hot. My suit was sloshing with sweat. I felt as if I were lying face down on a big sopping wet sponge. "Hecate can lift 4 tons, Fuchs replied at last, "once the ballast is offloaded." "That should be more than enough to take the pod," I said. "Right," he agreed. "Should be enough space in the cargo bay to hold it, too." "All right, then. I'm going to inspect the gondola first, and then bring up the pod intact." Marguerite's voice came through. "Even if your brother was in the pod van, there's practically no chance that any organic matter could survive this long." I was almost close enough to the ground to touch it. The heat was getting ferocious. "You mean there won't be any physical remains of his body," I said to Marguerite.
"Yes, I'm afraid that's what you've got to expect," she said. "Even if he got into the pod."
Nodding inside my helmet, blinking stinging sweat out of my eyes, I replied, "I'm still going to go for returning the whole pod. Is that all right with you, Captain?" Fuchs immediately answered, "Okay, proceed." Edging Hecate toward the burning hot rocks, feeling the glare of the heat on my face even through the ship's thick ports and my helmet, I worked carefully, slowly, to keep the ship's tail end pointing away from the wreckage. "We read 10 meters, Fuchs said tensely.
10 meters, right.
I had the radar altimeter displayed on the observation port so I could see the ground inching up toward me and the altitude numbers at the same time.
5 meters? 3.
I felt a crunching, grinding sensation as the landing skids beneath little Hecate's hull grated across the bare rocks. Very little noise. Then the ship lurched to a stop. "I'm on the ground," I said. I should have been exultant, I suppose, but instead I was almost exhausted from tension and the searing, overpowering heat.
"Word is being telemetered back to Earth," Fuchs said. "You've touched down on the surface of Venus."
A moment of triumph. All I felt was hot, sopping with sweat,
and anxious to get the job done and